court side, about the legal battles, because I believe the way we work things out, we just bring the right people to the table and talk it through. I've been able to work closely with the Department of Health, the Department of Agriculture, following this 960 ruling, and like I said prior to, but now we're at the table. There's a good neighbor program in place. There's lots more information that we need to gather to make good, solid decisions on good, solid information and data. We're working with the Ag, the Good Neighbor Program. We're looking at ways to provide additional support with additional inspectors on Kauai. I mean, we're at that level now, working closely in partnership, in discussion, not trying to look at the results of some of the studies and just automatically decide this is what it is. It takes time and effort and leadership to really look at all the different parts of this discussion and come together with a good, solid understanding and then make the right decisions on how to proceed. If it is buffer zones, I said I support buffer zones, I support disclosures, I support labeling. We did say that from the beginning. And this particular discussion, I believe, where we're at right now, is at the table with the right people at the table, taking on the responsibility, holding everybody accountable for their roles and responsibility from the federal, the state, and the county level, and assuring the results are truly in the best interest of all the people. Agriculture in general is important for Kauai, and I support ag wholeheartedly in all parts of our island. It's just how we manage the process and making sure that we keep out of any legal battles. That is my position.
Thank you. We'll stay with Mr. Carvalho. Our next question is, recent news has heightened awareness of the inversion of salaries between employees and department heads in key county positions. What are your thoughts regarding the inverse salaries and the potential effect they will have on a qualified employee's desire to apply for a higher position? You have 2 minutes.
I believe this issue regarding salaries and the, first of all, our employees are hardworking people, men and women who work in our county government. And if you, different levels of positions that, to me, depending on what level they're at and what department they're oversee or what type of operation they run, it's how you manage the people that work in these departments, how you work closely with the evaluation of what needs to be done to better serve the people. And these salary levels, I believe, have a process in place. There's a salary commission that manages these kinds of discussions based upon the need of to operate, to assure that the outcome of what we do for the people that we serve are at this top level, that we provide the best customer service that comes from the people that surround you, that make things happen, and provide the best service to the people. There's many different ways of trying to manage this particular part through evaluation and, of course, through further discussion. But I believe that the current working men and women in the county have their roles and responsibilities, and in order for us to get to that place, we want to make sure that our goals and objectives are met. We need to assure that we have good, qualified people in place with good experiences and good and excellent hearts and souls to assure that the work that we do really benefit the people that we serve. And sometimes there may be questions here and there, but I believe if you manage well, you oversee well, you know what you need to do, you know what people you need to make get the job done for the people that we serve, and the salaries will meet the different needs of the people. That's my take on that.
Thank you. Mr. Barkas, would you like me to repeat the question? Recent news has heightened awareness of the inversion of salaries between employees and department heads in key county positions. What are your thoughts regarding the inverse of salaries and the potential effect they will have on a qualified employee's desire to apply for a higher position?
Well, you know, our county's in a trying position right now, you know what I mean? We've spent all our money, we're going into debt, we're trying to figure out ways to get our, you know, our feet out of the mud, so to say, or something. But I think there's so many good, hardworking people in the county, and so many people doing such a good job. I just think, those people who might be getting these raises aren't the ones who are working their butts off every day for our county. And I think it's, when it comes down to, county raises, I think you need to put the workers on the street first, because they're the ones making the least amount of money, and they're the ones working the hardest. I just see our counties in a trying times, you know what I mean? We just got a lot of people in positions that aren't the most qualified people for those positions. And, it's like any business, you get the wrong people in the wrong positions, you start going into debt, your business is out of business. We're lucky we got a county and we get backing from the state and, the United States and whatever, but we need to think about our county as a business. We need to get the right people in the right positions making the right decisions. And that's not just for big businesses. That's for your local working class people, and that's who you need to start putting first. We cannot just keep, bowing down to the biggest corporations on our islands and the bigger entities. We need to really break it down back to how it's supposed to be, and that's for the people, by the people. And, that goes down to taking care of our lower county workers and putting our money into them, putting our money into more intelligent places. Sorry, I was interrupted, but that's all I have to say. The county needs work, and I look to put the right people in the right positions to do that, to switch it around and get it back on its feet. And that's by putting together, a blue ribbon committee. Mahalo.
Okay, well, we will stay with you, Mr. Barca, for our next question. Recent projected revenue shortfalls as a result of the state withholding more transient accommodation taxes than anticipated have resulted in the administration putting heavy reliance on taxation to balance the county budget. What specifically would you do to cut government spending? You have 2 minutes.
Well, I think we're in a position right now on our island where we're raising taxes on the wrong kind of people. We got Grove Farm, we got Robinson, we got the biggest landowners on the island that are being taxed for food production agriculture for thousands and thousands of acres, when the majority of their land is not being used for food production agriculture. A lot of that land is being used for experimental agriculture, and that's another whole nother bracket when it comes to taxing. So while we're in the position where, our working class people are barely making it, trying to pay their bills, the richest people on the island are getting away and laughing in our faces. That's how I feel. And I think it's time that we grow some and go after these entities and actually, this is the way we're going to get back on our feet. We cannot keep just bowing down and being scared to go to court to do the right things. There's so much fear. We have 9 people suing us who work for our county. Is that correct? Is it 9 people? I think it's 9 people. And, we're so in a fear place that we don't want to make the right decisions because the fear of going to court, the fear of losing more money, the fear. But sometimes you got to gamble, you got to go. And sometimes you gotta make the right decisions, even though they're not the most comfortable for you. They're the right decisions. And you know what? I don't have those personal connections in our county. I don't have those personal connections to these entities. That's why I have the ability to go after them and tax them right. I can go after, I don't fear the possibilities. I fear us going more into debt. I fear us failing. I fear our island, not being able to grow food in these places that are used with chemicals. I fear for my kids, and I don't fear for us. I fear for our keiki. Mahalo.
Back in 2008, when we first got into office, we came into really challenging times. And, you know, for revenues coming into the county, the top revenues for the TAT, of course, are property tax and user fees. And so as we progress up until today, we're trying to look at how to better manage how we spend, what we do, how our fiscal responsibility to keep business operating and moving. The other part that so that began in this troubled times from 2008, but we're trying to manage ourselves to look at opportunities to keep services moving for the people, and to assure that their needs were met. And so this meant that we have to make some tough decisions and how we manage ourselves to continue to advocate for the TAT, which we're not successful with, but we also looked at other ways to address fees coming in from the public into the county. User fees were another one that we looked at various areas to increase. Our current submittal, when we did our current budget, we did look at a good cross-section, a balanced way of managing our budget to assure that not everybody got overtaxed. And that meant that we only targeted one area, which is the hotel class. But the county council went ahead and looked at other areas, so now we're working with that. Right now, as we speak, more properties receive tax reduction increases. 57% were lower as of today, and 43% were higher based upon the current tax rates. So I believe that we've tried to manage as best we can. We're looking at doing a strategic fiscal plan to better understand where we need to go as far as budget operations and taxes and fees, and assuring that we can manage our office for the better operations, for the better service to the people.
Thank you. I'll stay with Mr. Carvalho. Our next question is, Hawaii Dairy Farms is moving ahead with the dairy on the Kalua Plain. The farm will potentially include up to 1,800 dairy cattle. Communities and businesses have expressed concerns regarding the odor, contamination of groundwater and shoreline waters, and the effect those issues will have on the hospitality industry, which has over 2,200 units and employs more than 1,500 people just 2 miles downwind and downstream. What is your position on the dairy, and what will you do to ensure that community concerns are addressed? You have 2 minutes.
First of all, once upon a time, there are dairies all over our island. And so, and you know, we are an agricultural island, as far as I'm concerned. Opportunities Ag is always thriving, and the dairy farms, we're placed pretty much throughout all the communities. So I support the dairy. I support agriculture and, of course, this particular opportunity for Kauai. However, there are concerns of its location, like was mentioned earlier. But again, it's about looking at opportunities coming our way, looking at technology that is coming our way to address some of the concerns. I met with Ulupono folks. I met with the State Department, I thought. We met with the key leaders again to see how we can work collectively to address the concerns now, this emotional side of this dairy project. We support the dairy. We need to look at the bigger picture, understand some of the concerns, whether it be water, whether it be the smell, whether it be the amount of cattle, and what type of technology that is going to help address some of those concerns. Instead of saying, no, stop, I believe that we need to take a better look, step back, get the right people at the table, like I said earlier, understand some of the questions and the emotional side, because at the end of the day, a dairy is a good thing. One day we're going to have milk that is going to be across these islands. I mean, you know, you're going to go to Hilo, I'm going to have a purple milk carton, say, from Kauai grown milk. I mean, we have the opportunity here to look at this dairy project and deal with the issues, manage it well, hold everybody accountable, look at the environmental issues, assure that we can make it work. If it's less cows, then let's do less cows for now, and progressively move towards a place we can be an island that has a dairy that is thriving and providing jobs and, of course, opportunities, not only in milk and cheese and other dairy products that can come from this wonderful opportunity and technology that is at the forefront. So I look forward to more discussion on this particular project.
Thank you. Mr. Barca, would you like me to repeat the question? Hawaii Dairy Farms is moving ahead with the dairy in the Kalua Plains. The farm will potentially include up to 1,800 dairy cattle. Community and businesses have expressed concerns regarding the odor, contamination of groundwater and shoreline waters, and the effect those will those issues will have on the hospitality industry, which has over 2,200 units and employs more than 1,500 people just 2 miles downwind and downstream. What is your position on the dairy, and what will you do to ensure the concerns of the community are met? You have 2 minutes.
Anybody that knows me and works with me knows that I support ranching. I support possible dairy. I support all this because it's so important. You know, we import 90% of our food. A lot of that is meat from out of state that's fed a lot of hormones and other stuff that is not good for us. It's proven. It's not good for us. I buy cattle. I buy one whole cow at a time. You know, I'd like to other people to have that opportunity. I'd like to bring more ranching to our island. And I just don't think that Poipu is the right place down at Mahalepu for the dairy. I just don't think. Out of all the thousands and thousands of acres that Grove Farm has, why are you doing it down there in a historical site? It's a, you know, it's a cultural historical site down there. You know, there's a lot more land out there that Grove Farm has where they can do, you know, a dairy that is way more sustainable. And I don't mean, when I talk about sustainability, I'm not always, you know, you hear a lot of people talk about sustainability, but, you know, a lot of people that are talking about sustainability are talking about economic sustainability. But in a place like Kauai, environmental sustainability brings forth economic sustainability. We live on an island surrounded by water. Our environment is everything. And without that, we are nothing. So, you know, you got to really put into perspective, Poipu is the tourism epicenter of our island. And who doesn't want this there? You know, the Hyatt, you know, the big hotels, they're the ones that are going to be affected by this. Not only our environment, but our biggest industry, which is tourism, you know. And I just personally think, you know, I support the dairy, I support ranching 100%, but I just think there's a better place for it. And, you know, if you put me in the office, I'll work on finding that better place. Mahalo.
Mr. Barca, parking along Poipu Road from Kukuiula Store to Kihuna Plantation to the Grand Hyatt has been a long-time problem and has made a number of areas hazardous for both pedestrians and vehicles. The situation is also detrimental to the sense of arrival to the premier resort destination on Kauai. What are your plans to improve the area and provide the needed parking? You have 2 minutes.
Well, you know, we got such a condensed environment, you know what I mean? Our community, the community is condensed. There's not too much space for new things. And, you know, that's a, it comes to a problem, you know. We need to start putting these things into perspective is, you know, how are we going to keep growing? And how are we going to do it in the most sustainable way? And, you know, you need to work with the community. You need to work with the homeowners. You need to work with the hotels. You need to work with everybody and see where is the best place for parking. Where is the best place, you know, we can start directing our visitors to park. You know, and even making it, you know, visual to directing people where to go. And so, you know, growth is inevitable, but I think smart growth is the way to go at it. We need to be really intelligent on how we go at these new endeavors we want to accomplish, you know, on our island. And you know, I think getting everybody involved is so important. And that's one of the main reasons, you know, I ran for mayor in the beginning was just to get everybody involved, paying attention. I know I go to all these county council meetings for the last three, 4 years, and it blows me away, and you'll see why I'm so passionate about helping my island and steering it in another direction. And that's you know, these are things we need to be involved in as a community. We need to all pay attention. We all need to watch what's going on. And that's why the decisions are being made not in our favor, because nobody's there. I go to the most important meetings for our island's future, and there's 5 people in the county council room. And that doesn't work for the people. People need to, pay attention. And that's what I plan on doing. I want to, for all our next endeavors in the future, is getting people involved, paying attention, and that's how we're going to make the right decisions. Mahalo.
Thank you. Mr. Carvalho?
I made a commitment in 2010 that we're going to move into community and begin the discussions on development plans. And right here in south part of our island, South Kauai Development Plan is almost ready. The first draft is out soon. And our people who live here, who work here, have had the say in this exercise and this opportunity to come and talk story for Koloa, the south side. So that, I wanted to make sure you understand that it includes Koloa, it includes Amau, Lawai, and Kalaheo. But in this particular area, the development plan process began, it moved through community, you had input and opportunity to tell your story and to have input. So regarding parking, I believe that we need some kind of shuttle service that can really, a park and ride opportunity where we can have people get on a shuttle and visit this wonderful part of our island, get to the various hotels. I know there's discussions happening already through our economic development office, working closely with the Koloa Community Association in looking how to move our people in a more safe, a more environmentally friendly way, getting out of their cars, into shuttles, into buses, looking at our Kauai bus opportunity as well. But more importantly, having the discussion at the community level, which is what you folks already have done. So I'm looking forward to the results of that and the next steps of the development plan, which includes safe routes to school, additional sidewalks, walking from one part of our community to the next, getting to the store, to the school, having our tourists or visitors come and walk and bike and have an opportunity to walk and bike right here in our beautiful town of Koloa on the South Shore. So the development plan is in place. We're moving forward. We have opportunities there. I look forward to a shuttle service that is going to take people around this beautiful town in a very safe and efficient way and address the sustainable part of this wonderful part of our island.
Thank you. We'll stay with Mr. Carvalho. Have you ridden the Kauai bus? And if elected, would you advocate for the expansion of bus routes and services? You have 2 minutes.
Yes, I support the Kauai bus and I have ridden the bus. We've already done many expansion opportunities. Our first order of business was to look at encouraging more people to get on the Kauai bus. Work closely with Kauai Community College to work on a bus pass program, did a pilot project. And today, every single student who enrolls at KCC also is issued a bus pass just to get people out and about. We've looked at park and ride throughout our island right here in Kalaheo over at on the North Shore. We've looked at feeder routes going up into community off of the main line. We've also incorporated weekend services now. I mean, our Kauai bus operations has moved in so many positive ways. Ridership has tripled. Our encouraging our people to get on the Kauai bus and use the bus system has tripled. We have coordinated with partners. Our whole new program for our bus shelter program. Every single bus stop on this island will have a bus shelter, period. We work closely with the ledge. We're moving now in October to do the first 12 shelters. And on top of that, community is going to come in and help erect these shelters. So the bus service is moving. The main line is already in place. Various parking rides are already in place. We're looking how to get people, our visitors, out and about. A shuttle service is happening on October 1st on the North Shore. We're already working with the hotels on the North Shore for now, as well as here in Southside, to look at how to really utilize our bus system and additional buses that we're looking at, hybrid buses that we have as well. So there's a menu of opportunities through our Kauai bus program. It's just getting people more aware, getting people on the bus with aloha, and getting people riding the bus and traveling on our island in a very safe and efficient way.
Thank you. Mr. Barca, have you ridden on the Kauai bus, and if elected, would you advocate for the expansion of bus routes and services? You have 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, last time you guys asked me this question, I think the last time I rode the bus was called the Iniki Express, but I have ridden the bus. It's been a while. But I definitely support the bus. I think it's a great program. I think we're putting way too much money into our bus stops. You know, they're going to spend $40,000 per bus stop, and that is just, you know, that's crazy to me. For me, I have a goal to work with our schools, our college, our jail, any way we can get our bus stops built cheaper, using the community, using programs. How can we look outside of the box and take the burden off of our county? You know, I just don't see how one of these bus stops would cost $40,000. I think if we look outside of the box, start working with other groups, community groups, schools, the college, the jail, I think we can get these bus stops made for a lot cheaper. And, you know, it put like a significance on it for all those people involved in making it. You know, they can design their own artistically or whatever. You know what I mean? You make it fun for the community to be involved. And, you know, we get people involved in these bus stops. You know, that they'll have pride in these bus stops. And, you know, I drive by Anahola every day. I see Kupuna standing in the rain for the last how many years we had the bus stop. I seen one auntie and one wheelchair, one electric wheelchair was raining on her. She was facing the houses right there, not facing the road, facing the houses in the rain on Kupuna. So, you know, it's been a long time coming to get these bus stops made. And I think there's just way better ways to do it and way more intelligent ways to spend our money and get our communities involved in creating these types of things. You know what I mean? It's just, we cannot just keep spending and spending and spending. It takes, you know, it takes looking outside of the box, you know, working with our communities. We cannot just expect to do everything on our own. And you know, it's a touchy subject. You know, it's a double-edged sword when it comes to the bus time. Mahalo.
Thank you. Okay, that concludes the questions we have for our mayoral candidates, and now each candidate will have 2 minutes for closing remarks, and we'll start with Mr. Barca.
I just really want to thank everybody for coming out. You know, it shows that you guys really care about the future of your community, and, you know, that's uplifting for me, because sometimes, you know, you come to some of these county council meetings, water board meetings, all these meetings, it just seems like nobody cares, yeah, sometimes. And, you know, you get discouraged, you know. You feel like nobody's listening, nobody cares. But, you know, now that I've been put in this position, you know, I put myself in this position, I've seen how much our island cares. I've seen how much our island wants change, how much they want to grow in a different direction, how much they are taking these issues that we're talking about seriously. And you know, I'm not a politician. I'm not a professional. I've never been in this game. I've been following it. I've been paying attention. I'm following how our county works. I've been following the kind of decisions they've been making for the last, you know, 10 years. I've been following. I've been watching. I've been paying attention. And it's, you know, I just got to the point where I can't take what's going on. It's so corrupt. It so works for one side of the spectrum. And for me, there's nothing more important than the future of this island, my kids, and the environment. And, you know, I just see so much decisions being made that are gonna affect them, you know. And as a parent and as a born and raised local boy here in Hawaii, there's nothing more important than our environment and our keiki. And when you put your family first and you put, you know, God first, and you put the environment first, there's no losing. There's no losing, you know. And I'm here to work for the people of Kauai, not the big corporations and the you know, the big entities that we need to. I work with everybody, you know. I work with Hawaiian, Haole. I work with Indians. I work with anybody. One thing we need to realize is we cannot change the past, but we can write the future. And by working together, we can write one positive future for our island. So I just want to mahalo everybody for coming out, and anybody who supports me, or, you know, if you didn't support me, hopefully you've seen what I'm all about and maybe go and change your mind. So I just want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart. Mahalo.
Thank you. Mr. Carvalho.
Yeah, just in wrapping up, we've accomplished so much, folks, in 6 years, from the repaving of Koke'e Road to now we have the Kekaha Gardens Park moving, and after 30 years, we have the, of course, Poipu Beach right here. We talked about the restoration project, the development plan happening here. We're moving on in the Complete Streets program right in our beautiful town of Lihue. We're upgrading Hardy Street. We're creating a transportation hub. We're connecting communities through various walkable, bikeable opportunities right in Lihue. As we move towards the Ke'alahele Makalai, we're going to complete that coastal path and make sure people can visit that path and walk, bike, stroll, do whatever they got to do to enjoy that part of our island. On the whole, we're looking at, of course, the restoration and stewardship agreement to assure that agriculture is thriving and the waterways in Anahola is moving. As we move towards the 75-acre ag park in Kilauea, I want people to get out there and start farming in Kilauea. We have 75-acre stewardship agreement in Malama Kauai happening as we speak. We need to continue to move forward. We're moving down in a housing project in Kolapua in Princeville, 44 units for working men and women. It's done. Moving, folks. We're down in Honolulu. Our master plan for Blackpot Beach Park is ready to launch. Our renovation of Honolulu Courthouse is moving. We have a stewardship agreement with Malama Makainaana over at Honolulu, Ke'e Beach, for stewardship agreement for the Hula Mau. There's so many different parts: transportation, housing, development, opportunities, working closely together with the team in place, good, solid, qualified people who can help with good hearts and minds and qualifications that is so on it to make things happen, and the results is for the people that we serve. I'm happy to be your mayor. I look forward to being your mayor for 4 more years. Join me, join my family, join my also team. Help me to continue to do the work we've done. We have a vision. We know where we got to go. We understand the challenges. Been here all my life, knowing what it takes to get things done. It's all about action, folks. It's all about action with aloha. And I'm telling you, with all the opportunities coming our way in building relationship, the federal, the state, the county level, getting out my door every day, being frontline, meeting people, greeting people, asking, hearing, understanding, listening, listening with understanding, hear with love and aloha, and responding with compassion. And that, my friends, is action with aloha. Mahalo.
Thank you. These are your candidates for the mayor of the county of Kauai. And mahalo to both Mr. Dustin Barca and Mr. Bernard Carvalho, Jr. Thank you. We're going to take a five-minute break, and then we'll organize and start our council forum.
A little music interlude here while we pause 5 minutes. This is part of the Acoustic Luau. Enjoy the break and we'll be back. Sun is standing by for the mystery train.
I'd like to call the candidates up front so we can have a quick meeting to go over the format.
So any additional candidates, we'll start our meeting in about 30 seconds.
Taking a small pause.
If I can have
we'll be
all
back
of the candidates
live
come up
from
to, next to the podium real quick,
the
I'll
Kaloa
go over the format.
Neighborhood Center. So stand by, we're a couple of minutes out, and we'll be back to you. You back now live to Kaloa in the Neighborhood Center, where we're going to get underway. This is a political forum here. It's the South Shore Political Forum from Kaloa Neighborhood Center. Right now, they said we're on a short break, and we should be starting fairly shortly. I will keep the music going until I hear further.
Thank you, everybody. We're going to get started in 2 minutes. If you can come and take your seats.
Hello again. We'll get started. I just wanted to remind the audience that we have this KKCR 91.9 FM. So I ask you to please do not clap, because many in the audience, listening audience, have not heard the questions. Also, it's also live on the World Wide Web on KKCR.org. So it's on live stream. And lastly, this will also be on Hueke Community TV in the next week. Hopefully you'll check the schedule at hueke.org. And I'll turn things over back to our moderator, Chris Gampon. How's about a round of applause for Chris?
Tonight's format for our county council forum will be that, first of all of our candidates have already drawn numbers. They're seated in the order of the numbers that they drew, so that it was chose in random order there. The candidates will be giving questions from a list of questions that have been prepared. The questions are randomly ordered, so one candidate won't have the same question as the candidate after them or before them. And in the interest of time, we're going to skip the introductions. Hopefully you are familiar with your candidates. And we do that so that we can have more questions and allow for more time at the end for closing remarks. Our candidates will have questions, and we'll have 1 minute to answer each question and 2 minutes for closing remarks. And up front, we have our timekeepers that have changed. So we have Joyce Vidina and Julie Kim. They'll be keeping us in order. They will have their signs to let you know when there is 30 seconds left of your minute and let you know when your time is up. Okay, let's get started. And we will start with Mr. Raposo. Recent news has heightened the awareness of the inversion of salaries between employees and department heads in key county positions. What are your thoughts regarding the inverse salaries and the potential effect they may have on a qualified employee's desire to apply for a higher position? You have 1 minute.
Thank you. You know, the collective bargaining process that we are obligated to follow is what guides what we do in the county government. And you know, I think that inverse reaction has been around for quite a while. I mean, I can remember where police officers would be making more than the police chief, in fact, more than the mayor. That inversion is something that is inherent with the system that we are. Golly, 30 seconds already. Jeez. Anyway, you know, I will say this. I mean, statewide, collectively, we're going to have to get a grip on those numbers, because we cannot continue. Does it hurt the recruiting and hiring? It definitely does. What is the solution? You know, better negotiation with the unions and the collective bargaining, and bringing parity across all the departments in all the islands in the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, 1 minute will pass by very quickly. Mr. Kagawa, what do you see as the biggest issue harming our local economy? You have 1 minute.
One of the biggest issues facing our local economy is, you know, I talk to, you know, our local people out there. You know, it's just money is tight right now. You know, the recession has still not gone away from, you know, 7 years or 10 years ago. It's still here. You know, people are going paycheck to paycheck, struggling to pay their bills. And we, as council members, we need to do all we can do to make sure that every dollar we tax, we spend as though it's our personal money. And you know, everything we do in our jobs, we have to do it, you know, with all of our effort. I think, you know, the people out there, they don't mind paying taxes per se, as long as it gets spent wisely and with effort. And, you know, I think that is what I bring to the council. I bring that attitude. I bring that willingness to work together with the mayor and start, you know, spending our money more wisely as we head to the future. And that is the only way that the public is going to be satisfied with government. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hoosier, have you ridden the Kauai bus? And if elected, would you advocate for the expansion of bus routes and services?
Yes, I have ridden the Kauai bus. It's been some time. And yes, I would advocate for an expansion of the services. I want to specifically advocate for free bus service on Election Day, November 4th. That's what I want to advocate for right now. So the mayor's here. And many people in the audience that work for the county are here. I'm not sure if the transportation director is, but we did it for the health issues that were here before when the military came. We'd love to do it for Election Day. I have to leave at 8:30 to catch a flight, and so I may miss the closing remarks too. But please, I want to invite everyone, anyone who's watching or here tonight, that if you want to ask me any question whatsoever, don't hesitate to call. My phone number is 652-4279. You can go to GaryHoosier.com. Lots of important issues. to deal with. The bus is certainly one of them. The dairy is another one. And I would think that would be the number one economic issue for this community, is make sure that dairy is handled properly, because you don't get a second chance at those kind of large operations. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Yukimura, recently the council has reviewed several tax relief initiatives. If adopted, these initiatives will have a direct effect on the county revenues. With the current budget shortfalls in mind, how would you work with the administration to resolve budget issues? You have 1 minute.
Wow, 1 minute. The tax issues before us offer us some options for giving interim relief and for tweaking the programs that aren't working well. There is one that would restore the cap, which I am not in favor of, because it creates wide divergences between properties that are very similar, and so you have people in the same neighborhoods paying $300 and others paying $1,000, many of them young people who are buying homes. So what our finance director and the council together have done is to remove the cap, but to put into place many, many programs that will protect our local owner-occupants, people who live here for many generations, and also protect people who are renting affordably, who are in high-priced areas but have lived there for a long time, and that is important. It's a good system. It has to be tweaked.
Thank you. Mr. Forfaro, do you support the military's presence at PMRF parking sands? And if yes, what would you do to ensure that it remains a priority for Kauai? If no, please explain why.
I absolutely support the military presence on the west side. And one of the ways I think that we can even support them further is finding ways that we can work with the county, with our landfill, on opportunities that would reduce their electrical operations by really pioneering some of the landfill gases that can be used at the base to reduce their operating costs. Every political subdivision, whether it's the federal government, the state of Hawaii, the county of Kauai, is challenged by operating costs. Even in our government situation, we find that utility costs for the county is a substantial amount of operating budget. For the sake of keeping cost in line with the federal government, I would talk about a partnership to develop the gases from the landfill with the military. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bynum, parking along Poipu Road from Kukuiula Store to Kihuna Plantation to the Grand Hyatt has long been a problem that has made a number of areas hazardous for both pedestrians and vehicles. The situation is also detrimental to the sense of arrival to the premier resort destination on Kauai. What are your plans to improve the area and provide the needed parking? You have 1 minute.
I've been to several meetings right here in Kaloa about this very issue, and it's been at the council a number of times. First of all, one of the things we all agree on is a complete streets approach that we're working on with the mayor, and we need to bring that. But in the short run, resorts have to take responsibility for the parking of their employees, and some do and some don't. We have to have the ways free for pedestrians and do the visitor experience really well here. And so I'm really pleased about the progress we're making on that and some of the dialogues that we've had at council that, and I believe this is an area that will be addressed appropriately very soon.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Kuali, if elected to council, what would be your top two priorities that you wish to accomplish in your first year? You have 1 minute.
Well, I think the top priority for me, and what it should be for every council member, is to manage our budget better. We need more fiscally responsible budgeting, and we need to be more accountable to the people. So when I was on the council, I got there on April 11th, and we were in the middle of budget deliberations. And I did my darndest, because I have a finance background and I'm good with numbers, to ask all the tough questions and to, you know, hold the budget and hold my fellow council members accountable to doing what's best for the people and to spending the money wisely. Unfortunately, only Council Member Raposo and I took the tough votes against certain expansions and certain increases in the budget and increases to fees and taxes. So we need a council that works more on the budget, first and foremost. That's our number one responsibility. And I'm ready and willing to do that. I need your support. Kipukai kuali'i. Mahalo.
Thank you.
KKCR Hanalei.
Mr. DeCosta.
KAQA
Kilauea. Have you attended the County South Kauai Community Planning? If yes, please share your thoughts. If no, why not? You have 1 minute.
Yeah. Hello, Billy DeCosta. I have not attended the South Community Forum. I do live in Omau. My wife and I do own 10 acres in Omau, so I'm affected just like how you guys are affected. I can tell you one thing. I'm not a typical politician, but I do have a bachelor's in economics, just like Mr. Kagawa and Mr. Kanashiro. They have a bachelor's in accounting, and we are number-crunching people. And I can tell you something. If we don't get a grip on our budget, we're going to dig ourselves a pretty bad deficit. And I think the only people who are going to be left here in the south side are going to be the guys who made their money someplace else and came here to live on their retirement. We need to get a grip on Kauai. We need to make sure our working class can afford to live in every district. And that is what Billy DeCosta stands for. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Broom, what initiatives would you propose to address Kauai's homeless problem? You have 1 minute.
We need to work with community efforts. And that's why we need to get a control on our drug problem on the island. A lot of our homeless stems from our drug issues that we have. People can't afford to work. They don't want to work. They're out there doing drugs. We need to get a handle, give them the support they need to get the help they need. We need to work with the administration, see what kind of programs we can do for the homeless to help out the homeless. As I live in Waimea Rivermouth is a big homeless camp over there that they set up. You know, and I'll go out there. Every time we got extra food, I'll bring it there to them, help them out. You know, we got to give these guys a chance to clean up, to get sober, to make it back in a community. And if we keep on raising taxes, then nobody can afford to live on our island anymore. So we need to help these guys out, make affordable rent so they can help and get off the streets and come back into the community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Perry, what do you see as the biggest issue harming our local economy? You have 1 minute.
Currently, it's the problem with diversification. We have all our eggs in one basket. By that, I mean we have it in tourism. So we count so much in the TAT tax. And if that ever goes south, we have a big problem. Not only that, but we also have the PMRF, which we just talked about, our military presence. That accounts for millions of dollars. And if the PMRF decides or the government decides to move away from Kauai, then we're in trouble. It's not trouble just for the people on the south side. It's trouble for the whole island. So this island needs to diversify. It has to look into alternate sources of jobs. We have to look at agriculture. We have to look at sustainability across the board, but not only for those issues, but we have to also look at how we can keep our children here at home so that we can have affordable housing so they can stay with their parents, and also to have the community move forward in a more positive direction in terms of technology. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Chalk, Kauai's Ordinance 960, the pesticide GMO law, passed in 2013 and was recently overturned by a federal judge. Do you support Ordinance 960, and what is your opinion of the judge's ruling?
I want to thank everyone for staying late with us. I know it's hot and hard to stay here and past my bedtime, but to answer your question in a minute, I support health. I support the need for us to look at every opportunity to support health, a healthy community, And if that's with an ordinance or where it's been kicked back to, which is in the state's hands now, I want to continue to support us working with the state to come up with the solutions necessary. So do I support what 960 stood for? Absolutely. Do I support that there's always more that we can do to strengthen our laws? Absolutely. I think that what we need to do is continue to work on the laws until we get it right, until it works for us, it's for the people. But health, number one, we gotta pay attention to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Cowden. Hawaii Dairy Farms is moving ahead with a dairy at the Kalua Plain. The farm will potentially include up to 1,800 dairy cattle. Community and businesses have expressed concerns regarding the odor, contamination of groundwater and shoreline waters, and the effect those will have on the hospitality industry. What will you do to ensure that the community concerns are addressed? You have 1 minute.
Well, I want to start by saying I really support food creation on the island. Food self-sufficiency is very important to me. I grew up in ranching areas, and I'm not averse to cattle. I need to go and learn more directly from the dairy and see exactly what they have there. But I do know that I've looked at the National Resource Conservation Study, and so when I look at that, it looks like there is close proximity to three wells on it, right next to an area that has the best percolation rate. So that seems to be where the leach field is. You know, we need to look as a county to make sure that the placement is correct. I appreciate the fact that the dairy has wanted to start with a less amount of cattle. I like that there's an attitude of cooperation. I know what seems to me the easiest solution is to have it on the other side of the mountain, rather right than along the clay soil that has a low percolation rate right next to the ocean. I don't have enough information now to understand why they didn't choose the other side. Oh, okay, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kaneshiro, would you support an initiative to revive the Super Ferry and have it provide service to Kauai?
I'm not too sure how, in reality, how possible it would be to get